the pilgrim way for the hand of God in all my life I see.
Hallelujah.
And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. And he is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. And he abides, he abides, oh hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Yes, he abides, he abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. And there's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides.
Father, help me today know exactly what is the right thing to do. is the right thing to do. What is the right thing to do? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I think I'm here. God bless you. God bless you. This broadcast is so extremely important. I hate to just drop it and miss it, but I have to get this working right. Last week I knew exactly what I did, and it solved the whole problem. Testing for 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, let's see where we go. I think we're going to be all right now. Welcome to our broadcast. I'm doing a special broadcast today that I really want you to enjoy. I really do. The wedding garment ready for the sky. The wedding garment ready for the sky. Now listen to what I'm saying, because that is one of the most important matters. Matters I could ever deal with. All right, let me see here. Well, testing 1, 2, testing. You know, I think it's in my equipment here, which is a new piece that I guess I will have to replace. God bless you. God bless you. Are you there? Well, you're there. Am I there? Well, listen, the wedding goes. Ready? For the sky. The wedding garment ready for the sky. I know you may be hearing better than I'm hearing. That I think is the problem. Is that you're hearing better than I'm hearing. You're hearing better than I'm hearing. Welcome. OpenBible.org. Now today's broadcast is really a special broadcast. And a subject that really needs our utmost attention. Ready for the sky. The wedding garment. The wedding garment. Ready for the sky. Do you realize the rapture takes place today? Those that are ready and have the wedding garment will go immediately to the marriage supper. How long has it been since you heard a term that deals with the marriage supper? When you really come to understand the whole idea of the marriage supper. And you came to understand what it was going to be when you stood before the Christ. And there were the multiplied millions of the saints of God ready for this great event called the wedding. Ready for this great event called the wedding. Well, I know I've isolated my problem now, so maybe next week it won't be any problem. But pray for that. but it's a joy to bring you this broadcast and to share with you and to help you know how soon that invitation is going to reach out. Let's go in our Bibles if we might. I want to begin by reading to you in the book of Revelation the whole picture of this marvelous day, this marvelous moment when this wedding shall be celebrated. Are you aware how soon it could be? And a voice came out of the throne that said, pray, our God, all to the servants, that he that hears it spoke on the throne. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad. Now listen. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, I want to begin with those words that you're hearing from Revelation chapter 20, chapter 19, and verse 7. For his wife hath made herself ready. Many people think that they will go up and be part of the wedding and be part of the bride because of grace. They feel like they're saved by grace, and so they'll be in the wedding by grace. But that is an untrue premise. The very beginning of this great truth of the marriage supper is you must make yourself ready. Now, I want that to really come across clear and strong, because if you can hear that, then you can understand where we are coming from. You see, the wedding garment is that which you must prepare. And it's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of surrender. It's a matter of dedication. It's a matter of sacrifice. It's a matter of surrender. It's a matter of you giving yourself to him above the world, above pleasure, above making money, above all of the praise of man. The most important thing in your life will become being ready to be part of the bride, the wedding garment. Do you have on the wedding garment? Now, there is a scripture that I will read before the day is over, before the broadcast is over, where Jesus comes in through the outer chamber, going into the wedding, and there is a guest there that doesn't have on a wedding garment. And the Lord says to him, why comest thou in hither not having on a wedding garment? And because this man would impose himself into something he had not earned and was not worthy of, they carried him away into eternal damnation, because he proposed to be part of the wedding when he was not prepared to be part of the wedding. Now, notice again, and I'll read the verse again. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And his wife hath made herself ready. Remember the 10 virgins? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 had their vessels, they had oil, they had a backup supply, they were ready, they were on fire for the Lord, and 5 had allowed their oil to diminish. They allowed their fire to go out. They were just pewomas. They were just people who went to church and lived a moral life, and they were not ready for the wedding, to be part of the bride. Now, I'm not talking about the rapture only. I'm talking about being ready to become part of the eternal bride. To be ready to be part of his bride. Now notice again, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself. And to her was granted, that she should be clothed, arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he says unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, that these are the true sayings of God. Now, I am talking to you about the literal word of God concerning the marriage supper. I'm bringing you the pure stuff, the pure truth. I'm bringing you what the Bible says, not what some preacher has said. There are people that preach free grace almost for everything today. I mean, that's the big sin of this generation, is free grace without responsibility, without dedication, without devotion. I don't bring you that. I may not be loved by everyone, because I bring you the plain truth. Now, I want to read these verses again, in case you've just joined us. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. The marriage of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? The Lord Jesus. The Son of God. He's seen as the Lamb 27 times. The book of Revelation. That is simply because by the sacrifice of his death and the shedding of his blood, everything in the book of Revelation is made so live. You want to keep on that wedding garment. You want to be ready for the trip to the sky. Ready for the trip to the marriage supper. And so you are prepared. There's going to be multitudes of people in our churches that will not go to that rapture. They will have to wash their garments in the blood of the Lamb during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. I weep when I think of the multitude that are not ready for the rapture. They fill our church pews. They fill our pulpits. They sit on our piano benches. They sit on our choir benches. They lead the choir. They do all kinds of religious things. But they have never put on the wedding garment. They've never given themselves to live this consecrated, devoted, abandoned life to Christ the Lord so that they might be part of that great bride of Christ. That great bride of Christ. Now, I don't know how the Bible could be plainer. I don't have any capacity to make it any plainer. I mean, it seems so plain to me. I would think you would grasp it. I would think you would understand it. But many do not, and I cannot help that. I'm sorry for it. But I'm telling you, if ever you've got yourself ready to be part of that bride, I call on you for today. I call on you for this hour. I really do. I want you to get ready. Now, here's what I'd like to do. To show the kind of dedication that the Lord requires for his bride, I want to take you to 4 different verses of Scripture. We're going to start in Matthew 7. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. I mean, these words as plain as they can be. You don't have to guess at them. You can read them and they are plain. And if you want to be ready, you can be ready. It's up to you. If you want to be ready, you can be ready. I promise you, if you want to be ready, you can be ready. In the book of Matthew, let me read verses 13 and 14. I give that statement again. I'm not sure you'll get it. I cannot know for sure. I know I'm needing to hear a little bit of me, but I'm not hearing me well at all. Now let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and let's go to verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the way, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few their nation that passed away, and killed their being that passed. I'm telling you, it's heartbreaking to think of the multiplied number of people who are so careless in the way they live, so careless in their conduct, so careless in the way they go about life. And they're not ready. They're not ready for that rapture. They're not ready to be part of that great company of saints. And I want you. I would not brain you what I'm braining you if I had any desire to do anything but help those that I know and those I love all over the world. All over the world, we get calls and inquiries from many countries, and people are wanting to hear the truth, and I'm doing my best to bring it to you. Now look at, let's go in Matthew chapter 5 to another verse that's quite overwhelming. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's pretty plain. Would you not agree? Now, I just read to you Matthew 7:13-14. Now, Matthew 5 at verse 20. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, people want to believe anything they want to believe today without the kind of devotion to the Bible that Christian living requires. And multitudes are going to miss it. And they're going to be so scared on that dark hour when they miss it. And make straight paths for your ministry, lest that which is mighty be turned out of the way. But that his brother, solitude with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. All the peace of all men and holiness. You said, Preacher Chambers, why do you maintain the old standard of holiness like you do? Why have you continued 66 years preaching holiness? Because I live in the Bible, and I believe the Bible. And the Bible says it, that settles it. So he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, you have a birthright as a Christian to be part of the bride of Christ. When you were born again, you were destined, if you chose, to be so devoted to Christ that you might someday receive the ultimate reward of being part of the bride. It's a birthright. Every Christian has the birthright to be part of the bride of Christ. But what does the Bible say? Many are called. Let me read it to you right out of the Bible. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, I don't want you to lose your birthright. I've given you three scriptures. I want to go to one more. The book of Ephesians. I love this one. This is powerful truth. These powerful truths will change your life if you let them. I'm telling you, you'll change the way you live. Instead of just being a pew warmer, you'll become a devoted Christian. Instead of just living a good, decent life, you'll become a sold-out saint, living godly and pure. My house shall be called a house of prayer, and you'll help make it a house of prayer. You really will. You'll help make it a house of prayer. And let's go again in the Bible. I want you to read, your husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ did what? Gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, a glorious church. What is he coming for? That he might present it to himself. That he might see, the Lord presents us. He comes and raptures his bride. And then he presents us to himself as his bride. And he becomes our bridegroom, that he might present it to himself. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Can you believe that? Holy. The bride of Christ cannot be a mixed multitude. The bride of Christ cannot be people who live shabby lives. The bride of Christ cannot be people who are just pew warmers, who just sit on the pew, live clean. They may be a lovable neighbor. They may be a good, faithful member. They may be a tither in the church. But if they're not devoted and sold out to Christ, remember, it's a straight way. And few there be that find their way into the brideship of Jesus Christ. But I really want you to find your way into that brideship. I really do. Now, let's take some calls. Our number is 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I want you to call because I want your questions. I want to be able to help you to dig in and understand all this idea of the brideship of Christ. It's the grandest thing that I could ever talk about. This is the star-studded event of all the church history. There is nothing in the future of the church that is superior to the brideship of Jesus Christ and the glorious day of the marriage supper. I got to be there. I've got to be part of that marriage supper. And I've got to help you be part of that marriage supper. My whole devotion today, in fact, week by week, is to help you get ready to be part of the brideship of Jesus Christ. Now, I want people to be saved. I want people to be part of the new heaven and the new earth. I want people to enjoy that great landscape that's going to be like a Garden of Eden. I mean, from one end to the other. It's going to be the most beautiful place on the face of, well, it will be the beautiful place all over the face of the earth and the face of heaven when God gets it all redeemed and gets it ready. And dear saints of God, I really want you to be part of it. I really do. I'm almost begging you to get rid of this world out of your life. To clean up the way you live, the way you dress, the way you conduct your life. Clean up your language. Clean up the conduct and the things you enjoy. Don't love this world and all the things which are in this world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Get that love of the world out of you. And fall in love with Christ's church and Christ himself and the Heavenly Father, who is the sovereign God of all this universe. And get ready to be part of the bride. And I want everybody that I can convince to get ready to live in New Jerusalem. Only the bride lives in New Jerusalem. Oh, Brother Chambers, I've never heard that. Well, I tell you one thing. I've proved it over and over and over. It's as clear in the Bible as the nose on your face that the brideship will inherit the great city of New Jerusalem, the great bride of Christ. Oh, what a beautiful place. And then the Bible said that those who are saved will inhabit the earth, the new heavens and the new earth, and they will live in the light of the city. And they will even be allowed to come and visit the city. I want to be a center of great, good people that I love who just will not give themselves to brideship living, but are really saved. They're good, decent people. I want to be a host for you to come and visit the city of New Jerusalem and help you enjoy the beauty that you could have lived in if you would have obeyed and surrendered and got rid of the world, cleaned up your life. See, I'm an old-fashioned Pentecostal. I was saved in 1952. I was part of a great denomination of holiness people. And I loved them. 40-some years, I loved them. But when they began to compromise with the world, I had said, no, 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 I'm not going that way. I went to the general overseer's office. I stood right in there and told these great men, I'm not going with y'all that new way. I'm not compromising my life. I'm not giving up my devotion to Bible holiness. I'm going the straight way. And I want to convince you to go the straight way. I really do. I want to convince you to live this old-fashioned life. Now, the wedding garment. Think about it with me. What is the wedding garment? What is the wedding garment? Well, it is clearly the righteousness of the saints. Let me take you to Revelation. The Bible has to answer everything that we come to see I don't want to answer anything without the Bible being plain and clear so that you know exactly what the Bible is saying. The Word of God, let me read it to you. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Woo! A door was opened in heaven. That's the rapture, see? And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. See, John was seeing that so he could tell you and I about it. John was seeing that so he could tell us about it. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats. 24 seats. And upon the seats 24 elders. Elders clothed in white raiment. And they had on their head crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning on before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now listen. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, if you read on, and I won't read it any further, that sea of glass is a great expanse before the throne of God. And that's where the bride of Christ will be gathered. That's where the supper, the marriage supper, will occur. And in the middle of that great expanse will be a great place, a marriage supper. A place for a banquet of the greatest beauty and the greatest glory of any banquet ever conducted, ever held. And the bride of Christ will sit with Christ. And the Bible says he will come forth and serve them. The Lord is going to serve his bride. Just like any bridegroom, his bride is going to be the center of his attention. And he's going to give them his utmost favor. And he's going to show them his utmost love. And they're going to be united with him. And for all eternity in the city of New Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus will reign with his bride. And we will be his kings and priests. And we will rule the earth 1,000 years before we enjoy that city of Jerusalem for eternity. And we're just talking about so much glory and so much beauty that it's almost impossible to describe it. Now, let me put up the phone numbers again. I want you to take a moment and call me. I've got the phone where I can hear now. I am hearing. It's not perfect, but I'm hearing. And I know exactly now what is wrong. It took me 3 weeks to discover what it was, but I know it now. So call me, 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. We had a lot of calls last week about the things that we were learning, the 70 years of prophecy. And we may continue that discussion because 70 years of prophecy began in 1948 when Israel became a nation. It was the 70 years were fulfilled this year. And the very date when your president declared Jerusalem as a location for the U.S. Embassy, the first nation on the face of the earth to move their embassy to Jerusalem. Your president did it this year on the date in which Israel became a nation. Do you understand, friend? 70 years of prophecy puts us right at the time of the coming of the Lord. It fulfills a complete generation. A complete generation. And so I believe this year, next year, the next year or two has to occur. The rapture has to occur. No date. I don't set dates. I don't believe you can set dates. Nobody can set dates. The Father knows when he's going to send his Son. And Jesus said he didn't even know. He said only the Father knows. And so at any moment now, the Lord's coming. And so you have whatever space of time between now and the rapture. You have that space of time to so devote yourself. To so give up the world. So turn your back on worldly pleasure. Turn your back on worldly gain. Put everything you have into the kingdom work, and live for the kingdom. Pray with the disciples, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What a prayer. That is the prayer of the hour. Is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what is your question? What is your question? Thank you. Question coming. And I hope others will call. And I do hope I can hear you good. I think I can. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Not in a loop for your writing.
Let me back up now. Say that again. I had one switch I had not cut on. Go ahead.
Yes, I was calling because I was wanting to ask you about some of your writings about the oneness and why you think maybe they might be wrong, and are they saved?
Why do I think the oneness are wrong? Well, because when I read the Bible, I see the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is absolutely filled with the beauty of the Godhead, a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. When God the Father sent his Son, he didn't come himself. He remained in heaven. Because when Jesus was baptized and when he was glorified, transfigured, the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." And then Jesus said, when he went to heaven, "I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter." Now, how can the Holy Ghost be another comforter if Jesus and the Holy Ghost are the same person? And so you can go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and prove the Trinity of God beyond any doubt. I mean, it's the most foolish thing I've ever heard is the oneness doctrine. Now, are they saved? You know, if a person comes to Christ and they claim the cleansing of the blood, they confess their sins and turn from their sins, even though they have some bad theology, and they do the things required for a person to be saved, they're going to be saved.
Amen.
So you never doubt a person saved if they confess their sins, they repented of their sins, and they came to Christ through the blood. That's salvation. And so there are a lot of people who don't even believe in the preacher of rapture. There's a lot of people who are into this Calvinistic doctrine that a limited atonement. All of those doctrines are bad, but if a person got saved, they got saved. You'll find there was a couple that came to Apostle Paul, and the Bible said he taught them the word of God more perfectly, for they knew only the baptism of John, and they were already saved. There's a lot of good Baptists that don't know anything but the baptism of John. You can't get them into Pentecost. You can't get them into deeper doctrines. But I don't doubt them being saved if they live a godly life.
So it's okay with you if you're baptized in Jesus' name?
No, it's not okay.
Then why is it in the Bible then that the disciples might have...
Are you a Jesus only trying to get a Bible? It's in the Bible because those Jews had never been taught anything but the Father. And so they were taught Jesus as an addition to what they already believed. And that's no problem at all. And thank you for calling, my dear friend. Give us a call. 1-800-338-7884. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 1-800-338-7884-704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. You know, I always get amazed when somebody tries to set a trap for me and try to get me where they can prove something they want to prove. You can't prove the Jesus only doctrine. No way. No way. And I'm glad I can say if they come to Christ through the blood, I'm not going to say that. Tell them they're wrong. Fair enough? Give us a call. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from you. I want you on the line with me today. And I want to be a blessing to you. I'm sorry for the difficulty, but I know now exactly what it is. I've got the one cord that's my problem now. And I don't know why I had time. You can't take what men say. You've got to go to the Bible. The Bible is where we get all of the great truths and the great things we love and we know. And let me take you to the Bible. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Listen, and take heed to yourselves. Listen. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come up on you unawares. How many of you out there are living so careless that that day is going to come up on you unawares if somehow you don't do something and you don't stop it and get yourself right with God? Now listen, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy. Now see, only God can account you worthy. That man tried to put me in a trap and try to prove his Jesus-only doctrine is, I presume, it's what he was trying to do. And I stop that. When I see that happening, I move on. Because I don't want to be an argument. If he's saved, I'm going to say, thank God. Thank God. I'm glad you are. But don't believe in being baptized in Jesus' only name. I believe in being baptized like Jesus said. It was Jesus who said. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said it. That settles it. That settles it. Now, I'm not going to say somebody, like I just said, I won't say it again. Call me quickly. 1-800-338-7884. I'm going back to that scripture in Luke because I want to read that again. I really want you to get that in your heart. Listen to me. Listen to me now. Listen. Watch ye therefore. How many of you are watching? Have you thought about the coming of the Lord all week? Have you thought about the coming of the Lord all week? Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. To stand before the Son of Man. I want to tell you, watch today. My word to every one of you is watch. As never before, watch. You've got to start watching. Now the line's open. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Want to hear from you. I got a book I'm giving you. The Wedding Garment Ready for the Sky. See, if you want to dig deeper, you really want to learn, you want to get so full of the Bible that the Bible just fills your little mind and your little heart, then order this. Let me send it to you and give you something that will help you dig in and really become strong in the Bible, strong in and start teaching others. There's a lot of people out there that you need to help teach. There's a lot of people out there that you need to help teach, my dear friend. We live in a dark hour. I mean, it is a terrible hour. And if we will help one another, help somebody else get ready, help somebody else get their garment all washed in the blood of the Lamb, all ready for the coming of the Lord. Watch and help somebody. It is that important, my friend. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Now, I'm hearing. So give me a call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, excuse me there, 704-391-0588. I want to help you know where you are in your life, walking with Christ, living for Christ, living devoted, living careful, living surrendered, living in such a fashion that literally, you can be so pleasing to God. And God can use your life to make you shine for Him, make you a blessing for Him. Now, let me take you while you're calling, Revelation 21. Revelation 21. I love the book of Revelation. Now, I'm so glad I have a good book that I've written on it that you can order. And we hear from people all the time ordering the book of Revelation. The Masterpiece is the name of it. A hardback book really is worth your $20. Get in that book and read it. If you can't afford it, you don't have any money, I'll send you a copy. All I got to do is know that without a question. I'll send you a copy. Revelation 21. Now listen now. You got to hear this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Notice that. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Not John. So the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Hallelujah. He showed me. I was reading the wrong scripture there. I was quoting when I was doing it. I do that often now. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Prepared, now notice this, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It was prepared for the bride. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now my friend, that's pretty good truth. That helps you see what this city is prepared for. This city is prepared for his bride. This city is prepared for his bride. It is the chosen place. It is the chosen place, my friend. And it is a special place, ready for the Lord and his church and his bride. Oh, what a day that is going to be. What a day that is going to be. And you can be there. I promise you, you can be there. You can be a part of it if you make up your mind. How many out there will decide today you want to be part of the bride? You want to get on the wedding garment. You want to be fully prepared and fully ready. Fully prepared and fully ready that you can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys prepared for you. Hallelujah. I know every believer is going to have a wonderful place in heaven. Every believer is going to be beautiful. It's going to be breathtaking. Oh, but what a place when you enter that city. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, there's so many things about our future that are hard to understand. And there's so many different opinions on different things. And sometimes they do get confusing to people. And I yearn to just take people and take them through this verse by verse and say, believe every word. Don't believe opinions. Don't believe somebody's, you know, something they've twisted around. Just believe the Bible. Just believe the Word. And you can't go wrong if you just believe the Bible and you believe the Word. And that's what I want you to do. And I want you to be ready. I want you to have on the wedding garment. I really do. I want you to have on the wedding garment. I want you to know everything beautiful about all of his loveliness, all of his grace. Now go with me to Matthew 22 and verse 12. I'm sorry. Matthew 22 and verse 12. This cord has really been a problem for me today, and I'm very sorry. I made it pretty good. And I do know now exactly what my problem is. It's going to be easy to fix. I just got to replace the cord. It's hard sometimes to see and figure out what it is when you can only get it when you're on the air. It only does it when I'm right here with you. See? And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having owned the wedding garment? How camest thou in hither, not having owned the wedding garment? Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. Cast him into outer darkness. Notice that. Cast him into outer darkness. My friend, you see, these things are scary when you think about them, and you look at them, and you wonder, and you say, wow, I mean, here are people who they know better. They know better, but they live careless. This man had to have known better. How camest thou in hither, not having on the wedding garment? Look at your life. Look at your, say, the future year. How did you live your life? What did you spend the majority of your time doing? When you had a free day, did you spend it for the Lord? Or you spend it somewhere hanging out with somebody, wasting your time, some worldly place? You know, I see all of this everywhere. I look around me, and I see so much carelessness. I see so much foolishness. I see the church so full of people that have little time. They have to go to church. They'll go occasionally when they feel up to it. They have no commitment to church attendance. Sunday night is off the chart. Wednesday night's off the chart. All they want to do is show up on Sunday morning and claim I'm ready to go to heaven. And I know they aren't. I mean, I know what kind of Christian living God requires. I was saved when Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Church of God people and all of us lived clean lives and knew there was no other way to live if it was going to go to heaven. I remember when the Baptist ladies began to dress like men. I remember when the Methodists began to smoke cigarettes. When it was passed in their conference up in Lake June, Alaska, that their preachers could smoke and chew and they could dip and all that. I remember when those things were passed. I remember when holiness was just a way of life. And I'm telling you, it still is. And those 70 years of prophecy, I mean from the time when Israel became a nation, right down now when we see transvestites in the bathrooms of the public sphere. I mean, we're living in such filth and such godliness. And our politicians are as a whole a bunch of crooks. They really are. You know, and how in the world did we get to this? We got to this because the church cut down, let down. The church compromised. The church quit preaching the whole Bible. They quit preaching the whole Bible. The church started preaching a little bit. You know, a smorgasbord kind of church life. Well, that's what you get, and we got exactly what we've got. So Jesus said, "How camest thou in, not having on the wedding garment?" I mean, you can't go into that wedding if you don't have on the wedding garment. It's just that simple. You can't go into the wedding if you don't have on that wedding garment. Now, there's so many scriptures in this Bible to study and to read. We'll conclude here in a minute with Matthew 25. I think that's a simple passage that anybody can understand. Matthew 25, the 10 virgins. And if you can't understand that, I don't know how you could understand anything that I would give you, because it makes the whole picture so absolutely clear. Absolutely clear. If you want to go in the rapture, you can go. If you want to go in the rapture, you can go. But you got to have oil in your vessel. And you got to be a set apart saint. Let me read it. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Notice this. 10 virgins took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil of their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a climax. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go you out to meet him. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go you out to meet him. Listen now. That's just plain. Are you listening to me? How many of you out there are hearing those scriptures? Let me read them again. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like a tent which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Right now, we are waiting to meet the bridegroom. There's never been an hour more urgently in preparing to meet the bridegroom. All you got to do is look around you. Look at everything. Look at all the things that you can see. Look at all the things that you can see. Take them around you. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Everything out there points us to the being of this being now. Right at the moment. Right at the time. There's no way to doubt it. Be the hour. You either got your head in the sand, you don't really believe the Bible, or you've never learned the Bible. Maybe you've never studied it. Maybe you've never got or you can hear what the Bible says. I'm trying my best to get you in the middle, or you can hear what the Bible is saying, because that is the only way to help you make sure you're ready. If you don't believe this Bible, then don't believe me, because I'm just a Bible man. Every word of this Bible is true. Not one word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Is that plain? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible is as clear as a bell. Now, you know, I'm preaching on Sunday some of the best sermons I've ever preached. The Holy Spirit is really helping me. We've got people staying with us, and we're spending hours in prayer like this church has never done in our history. I've never pastored a church that is praying like this church is praying right now. And we know we're going to have a Holy Ghost revival. I don't have any doubt. I don't care how much criticism you hear. I don't care how much dark things you hear. I don't care how much the enemy is fighting you and fighting us and fighting what we are teaching. We're going to see a revival. We're going to see a breakthrough. Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's coming. I'm excited. I am so excited. I could not be more thrilled because I know where we are and I know what we're doing. And I know the devotion that we are giving ourselves to. And I know it's almost there. It's almost there. It's almost here. And I am so excited about the privilege and the joy of being ready when it comes. All I want is to be ready when it comes. I mean, I've got other things I enjoy. I enjoy a good meal. I enjoy fellowship with saints, good men and women. I enjoy going to religious church meetings when it's full of good godly people who live holy and humble lives. There's a moving of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love those things. They're really the only things I care about. They really are. And it's a joy to live in that fashion, in that manner. I mean, you can do it and you can enjoy it, and it's peaceable and it's sweet and it's holy. And I want you to get ready. I want you to give yourself so utterly. And I want to read again. I want you to listen now. And five of them were wise. Are you wise? Are you wise? Are you wise or not? Five of them were foolish. Now, how were they foolish? And they that were foolish took their lamps. They had lamps. They'd been saved. They were church members. They were involved in church life. They preached in pulpits. They sung in choirs. They were elders. They were Sunday school teachers. They were foolish virgins. Foolish virgins. Lukewarm. Who had left and lost the oil out of their vessel. The moving of the Holy Ghost was gone. The moving of the Holy Ghost was gone. They may have had a good shout, but it was a good shout that was put on by flesh. There was no work, anointing, saturation of the moving of the Holy Ghost. That's where they were. They that were wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they both had a lamp full and they had a pot on the side. That means they were full of the Holy Ghost. They were living consecrated to God. They were living in the grace of the Lord. They were doing the things that they knew were right. They were loving the things of God. They were on fire. You know, I love preachers when they preach with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I don't care a lick for preachers when it's just a lot of noise, a lot of emotion. I mean, there are preachers who can preach louder than anybody in the world but have no anointing. I hear them all the time. I'm not interested in that. I want to hear men who've been on their knees hours, and there's an unction of the Holy Ghost upon them. When they stand in that pulpit, the Spirit starts moving through them, and they speak with anointing. They speak with unction. It moves the congregation. And people that live careless will get uncomfortable because God is wonderful when he moves. Now, listen to me. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. While the bridegroom tarried. Well, the bridegroom is tarrying right now. I'm looking for him any moment. He's tarrying. And what are you doing? Are you slumbering and sleeping carelessly? Oh, there's nothing wrong in a good night's sleep. We're not talking about that. We're talking about spiritual sleep, spiritual slumber, careless about your life, careless in your prayer life. How long since you read a whole chapter in the Bible without stopping and just fed on it slowly until you felt the Spirit of God moving over your heart? Friend, that's what we got to get back to. We got to get back to that. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold! The bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then they all rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. Our lamps are gone out. Our lamps are gone out. Can you imagine the coming of the Lord? And people everywhere are saying, my lamp has gone out. Where's my fire? I mean, when the Christ comes in the sky, I want you to know if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will know instantly. It won't be a moment of slack. Not a moment of not hearing and not knowing. You will know the King is coming. You will feel it down to your eye teeth. And oh, if you're ready, you'll be out of here in a flash. It's going to be a great day. It really is. It's going to be an unreal day, an exceptional day, a day out of this world. Hallelujah. The bridegroom. Now, think about Christ. Think about the King. The Bible said, blessed is he. What a King we have. What a Redeemer we have. I love Psalms 48. I love to read this. It's a blessing to my heart, a real blessing. Let me read it to you. It's about our King, our Lord, and his coming. What a day it's going to be. What a day it's going to be. Hallelujah. 48, give unto the Lord. I'm sorry, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palace for a refuge. At any moment, friend, the King's coming. At any moment, friend, the King is coming. What a day that's going to be. I don't know how ready you are. I really don't. I don't know how ready you are. I got somebody sent a note, bad connection on my mic. Well, really not my mic. It's the line from my mic. So really, it's the line from my ears, really. It's the sound that is messing up. And I'm sorry. I really regret it today that it's been such a tough one, but that's okay. I'll give it my best. I didn't shut up and close down and go home. I just stayed with it. It'll be okay. I promise it'll be fixed because I know exactly now what to fix. I've worked on 3 things. I bought new cords and nothing fixed it. But now I think I have found it. But I will do my best to check out 3 or 4 times before the week's over. I love you. I'd love to have you in church tomorrow. Oh, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Our morning worship at 11. We used to start at 10:50, but now we start at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock in the morning, worship, 10 o'clock Sunday school, 6 tomorrow night. We love you. You are important to us, my friend. You are very important to us. And we want you to have the best that heaven's got. We really do. We want you to have the best that heaven's got. God bless you. Walk with the Lord. Live close to him. I'm telling you, he's coming soon. He is coming soon. God bless you. Jesus is coming. What a day that's going to be. I'm sorry we'll have it all fixed.
The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, because it reaches to the highest mountain.
It's past.